I understand that you left private equity to build Sour Milk with your best friend, which I imagine was a pretty cushy job. But what inspired you to make that jump, and how did your priorities or vision shift once you committed full time?
You know, there became a point where I wasn't learning as much as I was when I had first joined, and I really looked in front of me and I thought to myself, am I going to be here forever? Is this the career path that I want? Let's make this a marketing play. If we're going to be building in public, let's commit to building in public and let's galvanize our community around this. Biggest thing that we learned was we need to stop somebody on the shelf for at least 2 seconds, probably at least 0.2 seconds. And Sour Milk, the name itself, is a pattern disruptor. People think, oh, weird, sour milk. And a lot of times it elicits a negative reaction in people. And then they think about it for a second more and they actually really like it.
And what was the biggest lesson you took away from that experience?
Perfectionism is what will kill you. So if we waited for our product and our packaging to be perfect, we wouldn't have sold any yogurt at this point. Our packaging is still hand stickered. It's not perfect. It does not have the nutrition facts on it. And so if we waited till then, yeah, we would have had zero customers at this point, and we would enter a grocery store with having zero customers, right? They would just have to organically find us.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Duck Pond Podcast. Today, I have Kiki Couchman with me. She's a co-founder of Sour Milk, a Greek-style yogurt built for your guts with 15 grams of protein and zero added sugar. She ditched private equity, built Sour Milk with her best friend, and sold thousands of yogurts by hand in New York. And she did all of this before even being in a grocery store and in under a year. Kiki, I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. What an awesome intro. Thank you so much.
Now, yeah, so I wanted to start from the beginning. So tell me a little bit about your story. I understand that you left private equity to build Sour Milk with your best friend, which I imagine was a pretty cushy job. But what inspired you to make that jump, and how did your priorities or vision shift once you committed full time?
Great question. It was a very cushy job. It was a great job. I actually really enjoyed the people that I worked with, and I felt very lucky to be at the firm that I was. But ultimately, you know, I'd always thought of this as just my first job, right? Like, I never necessarily wanted to be in private equity, and I joined it because I knew it would be a great learning experience for whatever the next thing is that I wanted to do. Well, 4.5 years in, okay, clock is ticking. Now I'm fully working in private equity. It's not just my first job and the stepping stone to the next thing. And so, you know, there became a point where I wasn't learning as much as I was when I had first joined, and I really looked in front of me and I thought to myself, am I going to be here forever? Is this the career path that I want? And if not, now is sort of the time to step off and actually, you know, make good to what I'd said, which is like, this is the stepping stone to the next thing. And so that's exactly sort of where we are and why I decided to take the leap with Sour Milk. You know, when we were thinking about Sour Milk, it was very clear to us that building a yogurt company was the way that we wanted to tackle health. And that might sound weird to most people, like, that's bizarre. Why is building the yogurt company the way you want to tackle health? But actually, you know, we could have built a pill or powder supplement to help heal people's guts. But honestly, there aren't that many people who are willing to take a pill or powder every single morning. And there are a ton of people who are willing to eat a yogurt every single morning. And so, you know, once we fully committed ourselves to building Sour Milk, it completely shifted, and it really has become like the mission that I live every single day is, how do I make the biggest impact on people's health through a journey and thing that I'm building that I love. So it's been fairly easy, even though the lifestyle is maybe different from going to private equity to building a yogurt company and bootstrapping that. It's been easy because of how motivated and how much fun I've been having now that I'm fully committed.
I love that. I think that having some internal reflection and really thinking, you know, where do I want to be? Is this really what I want to be doing for the remainder of my life? You know, it's super important, and having a partner alongside you along the way, you know, it's incredible. I wanted to dive into your guys' background a little bit. So you come from private equity. Does your partner come from private equity as well, or does she have some sort of background in CPG?
No CPG backgrounds for either of us. Alon spent her 4.5 years prior to this working as a product manager at a tech company. And so she was in the Web3 space, not connected to this in any way. And before that, we both had just graduated from Stanford studying different things. And so no CPG experience. I think, you know, that gives us a benefit in some way, where we're not coming in with any preconceived notions of the way it should be done. I think there are a lot of things in every industry that, you know, people, we've met with countless consultants, none of whom we've paid anything, but many have said, like, this is a playbook. This is the way it should be done. And we've gone a completely, when they've said left, we've completely gone right. Like, we've done a drug deal model throughout New York City to sell our yogurt. And most people have said, you should just wait until you're in your first grocery store and start banging down the doors of grocery stores. And we said, no, we actually think the better way is to go after the customers first, and then we'll go to the grocery stores. So we've, you know, come in with much more of a growth mindset because we've been able to sort of have no preconceived notions. I think on the flip side, you see someone like David's Protein Bar, and they did RX Bar before, and they were able to raise so much money and, you know, hit $1 million in revenue the first week that they were on, you know, that they went live online. So, like, they have that because they built something before, right? A very successful protein bar before, and they have CBG experience. So, you know, it's a plus and minus, but I think that it's not a, we're not, you know, you can learn. I think that's sort of what I've always learned about something is, like, you can learn. You've never done this before. And, like, as long as you're scared, you're not scared to fail. Like, you can figure it out and learn.
I love that. No, absolutely. And what was it like building this with your partner? I know a lot of people in this space, they say never start a business with, you know, friends or family. What was it like really bootstrapping this entire movement?
Yeah. It's been really fun. Like, people say never start a business with your, you know, best friend. And we did start a business. We did start a business together. And I think that, like, I wouldn't start a business with any best friend, but I, you know, do really trust Alon and think that, you know, we are platonic life partners in so many ways. And it's been, we spend more time with each other than we do our significant others, our respective significant others. And so I think it's like, we needed to make sure that we love spending time with each other. But more than that, we needed to make sure that we deeply trust each other. And I think that that has been, like, very much our journey in the past 8 months has been like a testament to the fact that that has been the case. And then, you know, the bootstrapping is like a different question of funding. But for us, that's like, you know, we wanted to create as much value as possible before actually taking a check from somebody outside. And so, again, like, we had to look at each other and be very clear about finances as, can we do this individually? Are we comfortable paying our rent without ever taking outside capital? And that means we have to drain a bit of our savings. That means we might have to work a few side hustles to make this work. But we both sort of really believe in it. And so that's sort of where we are now. And it's been great because we're the only two stakeholders in our business. We look at each other every day and we just say, what do we want to do? And we go and do it. And, like, you know, if we had funding from other people, it would look a little different.
Right. You would have to appeal to the shareholders and everything.
Exactly.
Earlier, you mentioned David's Bars. And obviously, they had an advantage because they had, you know, previously worked on RX Bars, which I think they're pretty tasty. I like them. And, you know, you guys had a much more unorthodox approach to all of this. I guess my question is, how did you guys go about learning all of this, you know, and since you guys don't have background in CPG necessarily, what has been the quickest way for you guys to learn?
It's a good question. I think, you know, talking to people has been the best way to learn. And so I think that's been, like, the first thing is being able to build a strong network and really understanding, you know, like, what learning from the mistakes of other people has been really, really helpful. And so we have sort of trusted people within our network that we really look to for advice and for, you know, telltale stories of what to do and what not to do. And then it's being clear about what you don't know. So, you know, once you get an understanding of the space, now it's clear, I don't know this, go and ask that. And so I think that's been the biggest thing too, is like, don't be scared to not know the answer or to look like you don't know things. Like, you just have to ask for what you want and what you don't know. And so that's also been another thing, is like, instead of tiptoeing around the bush and waiting and trying to figure it out, it's like, nope, let's just ask, right? Let's just ask what percentage cost, you know, the distributors take off your margin, or let's just ask these people and maybe it'll be a different answer for yogurt, but it's good and helpful to hear from somebody else who's in the industry. So that's been the best way that we've learned, is actually learning from our peer set of founders who are maybe a bit ahead of us.
I love that. I think that having a growth mindset is pretty much quintessential in every person's journey. So shifting the conversation a little bit, there was a bit of a rebrand before you guys landed on Sour Milk. How did you guys get to that? And what was it like dealing with trademark issues? I know there was a little bit of trademark issues surrounding that name. And what was that branding process like?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we did get hit with a cease and desist, and that was a bit of a bummer. We did trademark our name. We were under a different class as the folks who hit us with a cease and desist. And ultimately, they still sort of made the argument and were quite litigious. And so we decided this is not worth the fight and this is not worth the money or the hours. Let's use this as an opportunity to rebrand. And I think at first it felt like the end of the world, right? Like we'd already come up with this brand. We'd already designed everything. It just felt like, oh, goodness. Everything that we are is now been taken away. But then we reframed it and we thought, okay, we've been out in the world building in public for 6 months now. Why don't we use this opportunity to sort of choose a name that better fits us? We now know more things about this industry. Let's choose a name that has, much more resonance in a different way. And then second was, let's make this a marketing play. If we're going to be building in public, let's commit to building in public and let's galvanize our community around this. And so, that's what we did is we really just decided, okay, in 2 weeks, we're going to change our name. We're going to do a sprint because we could spend all the time in the world thinking of a new name. And so over the course of the 2 weeks, I got online and I said, hey, everybody, this is what's going on. We have to change our name. Let's go. Clock begins now. And then shared the journey of actually how we were thinking of new names. And, Sour Milk, I'm honestly so happy that we had to go through the name change because I'm obsessed with our new name. And I think it's like cool and irreverent and interesting and cute and makes you think. And ultimately, the biggest thing that we learned was we need to stop somebody on the shelf for at least 2 seconds, probably at least 0.2 seconds. And how are we going to do that when they're so used to their routine of buying Chobani or buying Faye or buying Siggy's? We need some pattern disruptor. And Sour Milk, the name itself, is a pattern disruptor. People think, oh, weird, Sour Milk. And a lot of times it elicits a negative reaction in people. And then they think about it for a second more and they actually really like it. But it's that initial reaction that creates a memory. Like that is what creates a memory in your brain. And it's what stops you for a second. Hopefully enough to then look at our packaging and think, oh, that's kind of cool. That's an interesting name and a cool package. Interesting. Let me look at it. Turn it around. Whoa, it's your daily probiotic supplement. I should try this. And so that is what we're trying to gain by having a different type of name. And so far, we've really seen that work and it's really caught attention.
I love that. I think that psychological approach is very, very powerful. And we see it pretty much everywhere from packaging to social media. And, you did answer a bit of my next question, which is how do people react to the name Sour Milk? I'm sure it gets a lot of, reactions from people and it's a great conversation starter.
It is. It's like, it's overwhelmingly, actually it's very mixed. I was gonna say it's overwhelmingly positive, but it's mixed. Like I just told it to someone today and he's like, I love the name. Immediately he smiled when I told him the name and he loved the name. But, and then there's some people who hear it and they're like, ooh, why would you need a company Sour Milk? And then, it starts a conversation, but then I say, that's the whole point. It starts a conversation. This is now living rent-free in your brain. And that's my goal is like, it can live rent-free in your brain. It can take up attention. And, in some ways we've won by doing that because that's free marketing for us in a way.
I love that. Oh yeah. It's a great, gut reaction of like, Sour Milk and you want to learn more about it. So I want to touch more about this in a bit. But since we're on the topic of branding, how did you guys go about packaging with your yogurt, especially when you guys were selling it by thousands, by the hand?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing that right now. We're still, we're doing packaging and we are selling it still by thousands by the hand. And so the way that we've been doing it is it's just we're making it upstate at our manufacturer and we are using normal packaging. So we actually have a packaging supplier and we're using their extra samples that they usually have in the back warehouse stock. And we're actually stickering every single package by hand. And so, so we've been stickering every single yogurt. All those 5,000 yogurts has been hand stickered by one of us. And that has taken an insane amount of time. And not the most fun thing in the world, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I imagine at that scale, you know, it takes so much time to put everything together.
Yeah.
So jumping into the specifics of the yogurt, your single serves have 15 grams of protein, 0 grams of added sugar. And I've heard that I also taste, you know, pretty tasty, creamy and smooth. How did you guys figure out that balance between clean, gut-friendly ingredients and something that people would actually crave? And were there any sacrifices you had to make, you know, in terms of recipe or the tastes?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. So number one was that it had, like, there were two things we were really solving for, is it has to be very effective. Like, we do stand by the fact that this could be your daily probiotic supplement. But then number two, it has to taste good, because no one's going to eat this every day if it doesn't taste delicious. And so that was where we came down on, was Alon was making this to heal her own gut for a while prior to us starting this company, and it didn't taste good. It was just something that she put directly into her body as a supplement, and it didn't taste that good. So when we started actually thinking about, let's develop a product for mass market, we had to sort of do some math, right? Like, how do we get the probiotics to the highest degree of effectiveness? But at the same time, how do we also make sure that, you know, it tastes delicious? And so we probably did like 150 batches in our kitchens, you know, over 6 months, just to make sure that we could get it to a place that was good tasting. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's incredible. Iteration after iteration. So you and Alon sold 5,000 yogurts hand to hand in New York under 2 months before getting into a grocery store. What was that experience like? You know, the pop-ups, the drops, and the direct interactions with consumers on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's a great question. Just for context, we are still in that. So, like, I'm not in a grocery store yet. We are still in doing the hand-to-hand drops. And so you're catching me in between doing a delivery this morning and doing a drop this evening and doing 3 more drops tomorrow and another delivery catering. And so it's exhausting. Like, it's exhausting, and we barely have time to, like, be on the computer and talk to people. But it's been the most fun to be able to be so close to our customers, and I think so critically important at this early stage to get that cult following of people who really, really care about your product and who really love the experience of not just eating it, but of buying it and coming and meeting you. And that has been sort of the reason for us doing these drops, is every person who buys our yogurt, they meet me, or they meet Alon, or they meet both of us. And so it's like, instead of focusing on getting into grocery stores, let's focus on those initial 10 customers. Okay, now initial 30. Okay, now initial 100. Now initial 300. And once we feel like those 300 customers are loyal, cult following fans, okay, now let's make sure there's a place they can buy it, not just from us, but in a grocery store. So
I love that. I love that customer first approach. And what was the biggest lesson you took away from that experience? And from all of this, you know, that customer first approach, seeing how people react almost immediately from tasting your yogurt.
It's a good question. The biggest lesson is that, like, perfectionism is what will kill you. So if we waited for our product and our packaging to be perfect, we wouldn't have sold any yogurt at this point. Our packaging is still hand stickered. It's not perfect. It does not have the nutrition facts on it. And so if we waited till then, yeah, we would have had zero customers at this point, and we would enter a grocery store with having zero customers, right? They would just have to organically find us. And so I think that's been the biggest lesson, is, like, you know, being able to touch point and have a two-way communication with customers. A, they're so much more forgiving and understanding. Like, you and me are customers to everything. We get that there's a real person making something, making everything that we eat or that we consume. And so that's been very helpful, as customers are, like, much kinder and much more, you know, much more forgiving. And then B, like, perfection would have killed this. And, like, you just have to get something out there and not worry about the perfectionism of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the consumer can really see the face behind the brand. So it's not just some nameless brand that just wants more of their money. There are a little bit of myths surrounding health, gut health, and probiotics. I understand that there's a lot of talk right now about flora in the stomach lining, and our gut being like a second brain. What are some misconceptions that you often run into in, you know, helping educate the consumers, and how sour milk can be actually beneficial for our gut?
Yeah, totally. I think one, One misconception is that all Greek yogurts are probiotic. That's not true. Most Greek yogurts actually just have the bacteria that makes good tasting yogurt. They don't actually have the ones that help heal your gut. And so that's sort of our stance is that, like, you know, instead of taking a pill or a powder supplement, like, you need to actually, let's just have our yogurt instead. The other is that 2/3 of Americans have gut health issues. And I think most people think that that only results in bloating or discomfort. Like, a lot of people are like, I have gut health issues. I have issues digesting. And the misnomer there is, like, if you have those issues, there's probably a lot of other downstream effects. Like, having a leaky gut can lead to dementia and Alzheimer's down the line, right? Like, that is all tied to your gut. 70% of your immune system lives in your gut. So if you're getting sick a lot, that is probably because your gut is not fully healed and healthy. Another thing is that 90% of your serotonin lives in your gut. And so, again, like, mental health is deeply, deeply related to your diet and how your gut is performing. And so all these things are really important. And I think we often just think of the gut as, you know, a symptom. Like, we just symptomly feel like bloating and all those things. But in reality, it's really, really important as a root cause to all your health to take care of your gut. And eating sour milk is one way to do so.
I love that. I know earlier you mentioned that Alon has some gut issues. How has sour milk helped alleviate that?
Like, 100%. And now we both eat it every single day. And it's like, it's, we live by it. Like, we are get high on our own supply. Like, it is fully our daily probiotic supplement and our daily everything that we eat. And so, I don't know, there's, like, nothing other to say than, like, it's great now. And, like, you know, she used to not be able to eat, like, a kale salad without getting incredibly bloated. Now she can eat anything and feel great. And, like, that doesn't mean she eats everything all the time, right? Like, it's not like she's going to eat french fries 24/7. But when she does, it doesn't wreck her, right, for days. And so I think that's a really important component. Yeah.
I love that. You guys really live by it. That's amazing. So
we really do.
I know that sour milk was in the plain Greek yogurt game, but are there any flavors that you guys are currently working on? Maybe something bold, even if it's not in the roadmap?
We definitely are. We are wanting to take a different approach to flavors and not just do, like, a mixed berry or a strawberry or something like that, but actually think about, you know, if we care a lot about health, what are flavors that can add to your health in a different way? So how do we have SKUs that are actually more functional and not just also tasty, but not just tasty, but there was also a functional benefit. So one thing we're exploring is, like, vanilla and manuka honey. Manuka honey has antimicrobial benefits. Oh, could we put that in your yogurt? It still tastes delicious, but there's another wellness SKU, right? Or, like, oh, you know, I don't think we're going to do this, but, like, for example, like, adaptogenic mushrooms, like, all those types of things, like, people are putting that in things left and right. Okay, could we put that in your yogurt? And it actually allows for, like, a more relaxed, calm state or something like that. So different ideas down that road.
Yeah, definitely. The sky's the limit. So earlier you mentioned that you're caught in the middle of scaling at the moment. What are some of the biggest issues that you're facing when it comes to distribution or just increasing operation?
Yeah. The biggest issues right now is sourcing enough dairy. So, you know, we are sourcing organic grass-fed dairy. And for most people who don't know, it's quite a fragmented market. And so we have to go door to door to different farmers. And most farmers are already contracted up. So they are already working with a big organic supplier and, you know, have already, all their milk is already spoken for and already in that contract. And so they don't have any milk to give to sell to us. And so that's the biggest issue, is being able to find enough milk source as they scale.
That makes sense. Yeah. I think that farmers are kind of under attack at the moment. And yeah, that does explain, you know, why it'd be so difficult to scale.
Totally. I mean, it's hard. Organic milk is really hard. Running an organic farm is very hard. And a lot of younger folks are not wanting to go into farming. So they don't want to inherit the farm from their dad. Or mom, but mainly it's the dad who's running the farm. So, yeah.
A bit of a legacy issue there.
It is.
So looking forward into the future a little bit, where do you want to see sour milk be in 3 to 5 years? I know it's a little bit hard to extrapolate that far out. But, you know, where do you want to see this beyond just New York, beyond just the United States? And how big do you want this mission to really be?
I mean, I want this, like, within 2 years, I would love for us to be nationwide and for you to be able to buy sour milk wherever, you know, you go to a grocery store here in the States. I mean, it would be amazing to be able to ship beyond. And we're a perishable good, so it's, like, hard to, like, refrigerate and ship to beyond, you know, just the U.S. So we'll see about that. But, yeah, the goal is really that, you know, everybody in the U.S., their households, instead of having a probiotic supplement and their yogurt, they get to just have sour milk. And it can be a two-in-one for them to make life a little easier and health a little more accessible.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, well, doing my research on your guys' brand of the yogurt, I really wanted to buy a pint for myself, but I'm located on the West Coast and not really able to at the moment.
You're not able to, unfortunately.
So looking back a little bit, what's one thing that you are grateful for having learned about yourself as a founder since you began all of this with your best friend, your partner, Elon, and something that you wouldn't have expected, you know, along the way?
Yeah. You know, shockingly, it's a double-edged sword, but I've been most grateful for social media. I think it's made finding an audience so much more democratized in a way that it hadn't been before. Before, you have to pay a media person to then, you know, write a story about you, and that's how you reach an audience. And now you can just get online and say whatever you want. And sometimes it goes viral, sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes you're successful at building an audience. But for us, that's been our real weapon, is being able to be, you know, have a community, build and nurture it, bring value to those people, and also vice versa. And I think that's been, like, the biggest game changer and something that I knew we had to do, but I didn't know how helpful it would be. And so I think I'm really, really grateful. You know, I never thought I would say this because, you know, I think the whole content creation economy is wild, but it's been very helpful for building a brand. Yeah.
I love that. Kiki, this has been an incredible conversation. Where can people, you know, keep up today with Sour Milk and the expansion?
Yeah, of course. Follow us on all platforms at Get Sour Milk, GetSourMilk. And then I myself post a lot as a founder who's building in public in this space. So if you don't want to hear somebody yapping all the time, you can go to at Couchwoman. My last name is Couchman. So it's CouchWoman. And that's where I will talk about all things about being a founder and about building this company. Yeah. And then the last one is just, if you care a lot about gut health, subscribe to our newsletter, Gut Check. We send a biweekly newsletter once every 2 weeks where we share details about health and the process of making yogurt. So we just did one on organic. Is organic really worth it? We've done others on probiotics and prebiotics. We did one on protein. And so you can go to our website, sourmilk.com, and sign up for our newsletter there.
That's incredible. Well, Kiki, thank you for your time.
Thank you. This was lovely chatting.